copies. I would like to come in and read the Word of God. Now look, if you are on your way to heaven, and I am on the way to hell, what do you think to do?
Can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
10 WBAI, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I think you guys are doing a terrific job. There's some wonderful people overnight. I think Max Schmid is brilliant and Arpo Martin is brilliant, but I don't know how many people get to hear them. And I want to say thanks. A tremendous job.
Well, thank you very much for that.
History. I'm your curator and janitor, Max Schmid. What have we got for you today? Well, we have enough time left for this fragment of a Gene Shepherd program. It's actually, a half hour. It's missing the beginning and it's missing the end. But we're going to hear the middle. And it is apparently a new discovery. 6 months or more ago, Jim Clavin sent me Shepherd being interviewed by John Wingate on some overnight program, and at the end of one of these fragments or segments of the audio was a Gene Shepherd partial program. And as you will hear, it's the night before his Carnegie Hall live appearance. And since he plays a fragment of last year's show, we know it isn't his first Carnegie Hall show on October 17th, 72. And since it's tacked on to the John Wingate file labeled 918, I'm saying that this is the Friday, September 21st, 1973, most of a show of Gene Shepherd. Talks about interesting stuff on TV, and then cookie burglars. So let's get to it before we run out of time, shall we? Lost Gene Shepherd. apparently from September 21st, 1973, here in the dustbin of history, WBAI New York.
And I've always had a feeling that at 3 o'clock in the morning, the truth begins to come out. Oh, God, it does. All the truths come out.
Only a few of the great statesmen in the past recognized this. Churchill, for example, was always bugging Roosevelt. He would call him on their red hotline at 4 o'clock in the morning. Why? He's sitting there drinking brandy, smoking cigars, playing poker, and he gets an idea. Well, being a typical American, Roosevelt went to bed early and got up early. This is, the total square world. I mean, I just can't imagine Nixon sitting there at 3 o'clock in the morning drinking lukewarm beer. Yeah, thinking the 3 o'clock in the morning thoughts that we all think. This is where the truth comes out. So I turn on a TV set. It's 3 in the morning. And I'm out there in the coast. Well, they had a little chart on the top of the TV set that said Channel 5, Channel 9, they're ABC, CBS, NBC, local, all that stuff. Then they had one that was marked X. Channel 1. 3 in the morning. I switched to Channel 1 to see what was going on. And it was a test pattern there. With a time signal that was apparently marking down time. It was going down towards 3 o'clock in the morning. It was 5 minutes to 3. This thing said 4 minutes, 3 minutes. I'm watching this. What's going to happen at 3? 2 minutes, 1 minute. Boop. With that, a band started to play, and on came a logo, and it said Adult Theater. By God. Adult 3 in the morning. Another truck roars by, and the Florentine chandelier swung over my head, creaking. The plexiglass, it gets like that. It gets a little old, and it tends to yellow around the edges. And I'm watching this thing, and on came at 3 o'clock in the morning in my motel room in this Taj Mahal motel out on the coast. I mean the raunchiest, hairiest. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that these guys in these little joints along 42nd Street would get busted for playing. And there it comes on. Well, now, I'm watching this thing, saying, I can't believe what I'm seeing, I quickly adjusted and began to very much believe in what I'm seeing. And by about the first 5 minutes, I knew there was something missing. It was the commercial. All of us watching television instinctively associate watching TV with the commercial. It's there. It's part of it. I was not disappointed. On came the commercial, and you would not believe what they put on for commercials. You wouldn't believe it. And they're animated. Let's put it this way. The commercial had a very close parallel with what was before and after the commercial for various products, various services, various 24-hour-a-day places you could call. And it came out and said, this is the Brave New World. It's really brave. Well, at that point, they went off. 15 minutes, I saw the end of the show. Yeah, it was really brave. 15 minutes, the show is over. And a voice came on and said, our next feature, in a very sort of almost like a Zacherly voice, our next feature will be in exactly 45 minutes. Boop. Back came the test pattern. Now, what kind of a test pattern was it? Well, have you ever seen a truly Freudian test pattern? It was not just a bunch of little circles and squares, little dots and lines. This is WOR New York, an RKO general station. And would you please, let's see, we have, is there anything in there on tape? Are they all live? Oh, yes, Valentine Beer. Joan, please.
When you ask tough questions, you better have the answers. And we do. Example.
Some mean
the beer
commercial.
You drink. Do you really like its flavor? Or do you drink it
only
on that?
Beers all over the place.
You know there's one absolutely great tasting beer? Do you know it's Ballantine?
No, you're going to be
you
glad to know
Ballantine
this.
Why don't you beer tonight? Who do we think we are asking these tough questions?
That's a good questionnaire.
The people with the answer. The only answer. Ballantine.
Yeah, I figured he had an axe to grind. Brewed by the P. Valentine Brewing Company of beautiful, picturesque Cranston, Rhode Island. Siri, some nights, 3 a.m, I wake up and I keep picturing Cranston, Rhode Island. It's a gigantic tank of beer surrounded by these little huddled shacks of the beer makers. And now we're on, while we're on the subject of commercials, we got a really big one here. You all sitting in there, Jonah, hold it now. Don't you hit it until I give you the cue, right? This is probably the most important announcement of the cultural season to date. Please, 1, 2, 3.
My God, listen to that! Who would have believed it?
Listening to the finale of my last year's show at Carnegie Hall. Listen to it, Steve. That was taped in action. Makes the Roman Coliseum look like a Sunday school. Presided over by Doris Day.
Bring on! Bring them on! Bring on the Lions!
Yeah. Tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, our only performance. I will be at Carnegie Hall tomorrow night at 8. And there will be seats. We've kept a large block for this. There will be seats on sale at the box office, but for God's sakes, get there early. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Carnegie Hall, one performance only, and that's it. It's 8 o'clock, and you better get there. And where is it? Well, a lot of people have never been to New York, and I'll tell you, Carnegie Hall is on 57th Street, 154 West 57th Street. And there are seats on sale right now, and they will be on sale. And incidentally, you can call them during the day and find out if they still have seats. It's area 212, and the number is Circle 7-7459. That's the box office at Carnegie Hall. And there will be seats on sale. We've set aside a block just for people who want to come in and buy their seats at the box office. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Carnegie Hall. Let's hear a little more of that fantastic finale. That is Carnegie Hall, Joe. It really is.
Let's go! Let's go!
You wouldn't guess what I was wearing when I was doing that. I was wearing an Arab costume. Big black sunglasses. We even had a camel that came out on the stage, played the kazoo. All right, thank you. Oh, man, that's tomorrow night, Carnegie Hall. And I'm really feeling it already. Let's see, we got a couple more here. All right, here's a goodie for you. All right, let's see, Alexis Lachine, yes, if you're living the elegant life out there, you know, there it is. If you're living the elegant life out there in Queens and you'd like to add a little true elegance to your meatloaf and red cabbage, we'd like to suggest Alexis Lachine Beaujolais. Elegant wine. And if you've, you've already worked your way through the sangria scene and you're ready for real wine now, we'd like to suggest Beaujolais, Alexis Lachine. It's an excellent, elegant, dry, very fresh, sharp red wine. And incidentally, Beaujolais is the most popular wine in France, and they know about wine there. So, for a really fine wine experience, try the French experience. Alexis Lachine Beaujolais. It's the beautiful wine at a beautiful price, imported direct from France by Bosch Sherrington Vontners of New York. Remember the name, Alexis Lachine. Trey and Garn. You like that, isn't it? Alexis Lachine, yeah, love is a ball. Come, my dear, we shall try his little wine. Yes, très elegant. Let's see, we have Huffman here. Huffman. What is Huffman? Is that on tape or what? Live. What is Huffman? Huffman, Beaujolais. Yes, here it is over here. Yes, Huffman Coos is building. They're holding a unique fall festival of famous name value for your home tomorrow. That's Saturday. Now that the kids are back at school and summer vacations are over, you're probably making plans for redecorating your home. Are you? Well, all right. That's exactly why Huffman Coos plan their big fall festival of famous name value right now. Huffman Coos. let's see, 12 fine furniture stores in New Jersey and Nanuet, New York. They're open from 9:30 to 9:30, Saturday until 6. That's daily, of course, 9:30 to 9:30, and their big sale Saturday till 6 tomorrow. So you can call Jersey 201-343-4300 for your nearest Huffman Coos. Huffman Coos, that's a collector's item car. It was built in Buffalo, New York, the Huffman Coos. It was called, actually, during its day, the Huffman Coos Jackrabbit. And it was a three-cylinder cab-over-engine job. Very interesting car. Huffman Coos was originally a bicycle company. Let's see. Have you ever heard of the Huffman Coos, Jerry? Yeah, I knew you, but sure, of course. Yes, of course. Of course, it's got very interesting. That's a three-wheeler, though. Yes. Let's see. We have WOR-TV, please, John. Come on, say it, man. Sing it out loud.
Clear. New York and Channel 9, it's a great combination.
Yeah.
Like having a hot dog with all the trimmings.
Yeah, or a hot
pastrami on rye. Oh. Or some sizzling sausage smothered in peppers and cooled by a refreshing lemon ice. Combinations have always been a New York thing. For New York makes them in a very special way. And that's what makes them great. Channel 9 combines the very best in television entertainment with The Lucy Show. Two different shows each weeknight at 5:30 and 7. Plus, action and adventure on It Takes a Thief. Two great shows together on New York's Great Combination.
Holy smokes. Hey, some very excitable lady there. Let's see, you're screaming. How would you like to win a vacation for two? It's in Denmark, and vacations in Denmark can be very cozy if you have the right people with you. And you can fly there on Scandinavian Airlines, all expenses paid. Well, you also may win free Danish cheese for a cheese tasting party, too. It's a little complicated. You just visit any store that sells cheese. On a card or letter, you write the store name and the address, and the names of the variety of Danish cheese you find there, and your name and address. And you mail the entry to Cheezo, WOR Radio, New York, 10018. That's Cheezo, WOR Radio, New York, 10018. They're going to have a drawing here. A drawing, excuse me. And they're going to give away 60 of these things every week. Okay? Can't you just see this guy sneaking around the Danish cheese store, counting the cheese, getting busted? Because he's a cheese counter and not a cheese buyer? Well, that's the way it goes, you know. Have you ever been busted? Joan, you haven't? Either of you, Jerry. I'm sure that both of you have lived blameless lives. Well, I can't exactly say the same for me. I really can't. I remember one night, I'll tell you, as long as we're going to talk about getting busted, the first time I was busted, well, I wasn't really busted. I'll tell you, it came about, okay, I'll tell you, you want to hear about my life in crime? The time, oh, I'll tell you, it had to do with a car. Almost all crime in the 20th century has to do with cars in one way or another. Now think about that, Joan. You saw the French Connection? They couldn't have got away with that unless they put all that stash. You know, they put all that stuff in the frame of the car, right? Without the car, it was just a guy trying to sneak in some stuff in his shoes, and that wouldn't work. Okay? The car has played a very big role in crime. Look, Bonnie and Clyde. Do you think they could have got any action going walking to the bank and then walking home? No way. No way. That transportation is as much a part of crime as crime itself. Every time you pick up on a late Western on TV, right? What are they doing? Riding like hell. You think for one minute that they could have had much action in Tombstone unless they had horses they could ride out of town fast? That transportation moving over the landscape rapidly is important to us criminals. Very much so. And as a matter of fact, any good Any good crime type will tell you that the wheels are what it's about, man. They are what it's about. You get yourself a good piece, some good wheels, and you're in business. But you don't get the wheels, you're in trouble. I mean, you don't roller skate in and out of the Chase Manhattan Bank. Not very well, you don't. Well, well, I'll tell you, Joe, believe me, this is not for kids. I'll tell you, I don't do the kind of show that John Gambling does. This is the way life is. Now, crime is beckoning all the time. There is hardly one of you who has not once to himself said, boy, fill in the blank. When you were 9 years old, you go to Woolworth, you have vague urge to do a little shoplifting. Did you ever succumb to that, Joan? Of course not. Of course, you realize that the statute of limitations has already made you're in the clear. You got away with that competition yo-yo that you stole. But nevertheless, the urge to crime is a basic animal human urge. Dogs do it. Oh yeah, you see one dog chomping away on a Purina dog biscuit. You don't think that the other dog is just going to watch him chomp, do you? Here comes over and tries to pull it right out of his mouth. You seen him do it? Time after time. That is dog crime. A crime consists of taking away something from the other guy that the other guy already has. That's basically what crime is. Now, it may even involve a life, but that's basically what crime, impinging upon the rights of others. I mean, Woolworth has a right not to have their yo-yos stolen, right? They own them. Well, you come sneaking in there with your eyes big and your palms sweaty, and you look around, you got 17 cents. Well, the urges are just terrible. And I tell you, we're living in times of incredible temptation. I mean, I can't imagine anything more tempting than your average big-time supermarket. I mean, if you're so inclined. You know, one of the rackets in New York supermarkets that you don't see much in supermarkets outside of New York is the cookie rustler. Every supermarket knows all about the illicit cookie monster. Now, what is the cookie rustler? Now, I'm going to suggest that you, the next time you go to your supermarket, walk in the cookie section. Just look very carefully, and you will notice that some bags of cookies, particularly chocolate chip cookies. Apparently this cookie rustler has really got a chocolate chip thing and sometimes you see the Oreo cookie thing. This is a big rustler area there. You know Oreos? You had the Oreos, right? Well, you will find in almost every Manhattan cookie department in the supermarket, it looks like an accident. Somehow, mysteriously, a bag has been opened. You notice that with the cookies in there? The cookie rustler has struck again. Now, how does the cookie rustler do it? Well, I'll tell you how. There's many techniques. I watched a cookie rustler actually do his dirty work in Gristiti's the other day. I actually watched him do it. Now, you don't just walk up to the counter, rip open the cookies, and reach in and grab a cookie, right? No, you're liable to get spotted. So you know what he does. Here's what the cookie rustler does. The cookie rustler looks around, you know, looks back and forth, notices that there's nobody on the aisle except himself and a couple of schlunks walking around and looking down at the marinara sauce or something. See, he then, like he's going to buy them, he reaches in, he takes this bag of, let's say, Nabisco chocolate chippos, and he puts them into his cart. Now, he looks authentic, right? He then slowly wheels it down the aisle and turns right, heading towards the detergent department. He then turns right again. Now he's deep in the detergent and the Clorox division. He has passed the paper towel department, and he's got a lot of stuff. See, he's rustling around in the bag. The next thing you know, the guy's got the bag open. Remember, it's in his... You'd have to follow him. And he has taken a couple of cookies out, see? And he's chomping the cookies. Well, he slowly moves down the aisle. Now he's by the frozen food department, right? He goes past the frozen peas and the frozen Mexican TV dinners. He turns left again, and now he's back in the cookie department. He's looking at the cookies very carefully, and he takes the bag out, like as if he's changed his mind, puts the bag back in, and wheels on. The cookie monster has struck. He scoffed a couple of cookies, and he's on his way. Now there are different types of rustlers. Have you ever seen the peanut butter scoffer? Oh, that's the worst kind of rustler. I saw a grown-up lady. I am walking down the aisle of a supermarket one day. Of course, inadvertently, see, I looked like the kind of person that no one would ever think is conceivably in charge of anything. So they do stuff right in front of me. I just come walking along down there, looking kind of dumb, and I got the little cart there, and I see this lady up ahead of me. She has a big 1 pound jar of Skippy peanut butter, chunky style. Now that's a special style, see. And she looks around. Well, there's a look in the eye of the rustler that is telltale. Looks around. Looks the other way. Looks down. And I'm passing her now with my cart. I'm just looking dumb like I always do. And I hear... I look back quickly over my shoulder, and she is opening the jar. Like that, very quickly, she takes 2 fingers of peanut butter, puts it back on. The peanut butter jar is back on the shelf, and she wheels along down through the aisle. She is scoffing peanut butter. All right, now you never saw that little shtick, did you? Oh, listen, I saw one guy one time wheel up to the dairy counter. All right, you want to hear more about these terrible crimes that are perpetrated in the name of humanity? Well, this guy, there's a whole bunch of us there, see, and we're all in the dairy counter. Guys, people are taking cheese and stuff, you know. And he reaches down and he takes this great big quart thing of Seal Test, half and half, right? Well, now, that's a pretty rich, heady brew there. It's Seal Test half and half. First of all, that's not cheap. He takes a quart of it, see? Puts it in his thing. He wheels along, and I pay no attention, see? And I'm behind him. I'm going along like that. Next thing I know, I see he has got the quart up to his trap. He drinks about 4 big swallows of it, closes the top, wheels around, comes back, and puts the damn thing right back in the freezer. Right back in the cooler. Well, now, obviously, somebody's going to want to buy a half a quart of this stuff, see, and wonder where the hell it went. Well, now, I want to tell you this, since a lot of you are quite innocent with the ways of the world, and I must admit that my friends are not all they should be, and many of my friends have been on the seedy side from time to time. It's just the way life is. You live in New York long enough, you have to know a lot of people like this. But do you know that I knew 2 actors in New York, one of whom, incidentally, is very famous now. I know an actor today that probably earns $700,000 a year. In fact, probably much more than that. The last picture deal he signed, I know, was for $1.25 million for the picture. That's how big he is. Old friend of mine. 2 actors lived for better than 6 months eating in supermarkets down in the village. And they would go in every day, get a cart, push it around, and all the way up and down throughout the supermarket, and then never buy anything. They wind up putting the stuff back on the shelves and then putting the cart back and then looking around like as if, well, damn it, they didn't have any rutabagas today, and walked out. Now, I'll let you guess what the name... One guy never made it. One of the guys who was the actor that I knew is now a top stockbroker, of all things. The other guy is a top motion picture star, and I'll give you a brass figure with bronze oak leaf palm if you can guess who it was. I'll give you another clue. I was in a show with him. And if you saw it, I was in a show with him. Well, that covers a lot of things, because I was at a show with a lot of people. But this guy is male, and he lived very well. I mean, he learned all these tricks, see? And once in a while, he would ask me, so you want to go out to dinner with me? And I'd say, yeah. Well, then we'd go into D'Agostino. And the two of us, and we would wheel up and down the counter, up and down. We'd do the whole thing, see? And you want to hear some of the other trickies? You don't want to hear them? Okay. How about the pickle filcher? Stealing pickles. Now, if you happen to be like me, you enjoy a good kosher dill pickle now and again. Do you like those? Oh, yes. I've been known to mainline kosher dills. I love a good kosher dill pickle. In fact, it's a secret vice with me. I really, really dig them, you know. And especially, you know, there's certain types that are much better than others, see. I'm not going to give you any brand names, but I dig kosher deals. Well, my friend, the actor, who also happens to like kosher dill pickles, introduced me to the art of pickle filching. Now, the way it's not an easy thing to do because, first of all, getting a pickle out of a pickle jar, for starters, takes a certain dexterity. You'll admit, John, it could be a lot of disaster. You know, pull a pickle out, and next thing you know, five pickles fly out, you know, because they're tightly packed in there. So you have to be very careful on how you steal your pickle. And more than that, eating the pickle is not easy because they're aromatic as all hell. And so if all of a sudden a great blast of kosher comes floating down, you know, garlic comes floating out of the pickle department, somebody knows that somebody's tapping, right? So this is a complicated thing. Suffice it to say that a good pickle filcher also involves himself with soft roll or bun filching. See, the bun muffles the smell of the pickle. Now, if you're also a...
Well, that's it. That's where it ends. A fragment of a Gene Shepherd program, not available anywhere. Apparently, from September 21st, 1973, the day before his second Carnegie Hall show. And... well, that's about it. Sorry to be so disjointed this evening, but, you know, sometimes that's just the way life is. Next week, well, let's see, what did I just download? I just downloaded a new series. Wait, was that it? That wasn't it? No, I don't even remember what the new series was that I just downloaded. Beyond Midnight, Beyond Midnight. So if I find it in my vast confusion of files, maybe we'll listen to an episode of Beyond Midnight. We will very likely hear Chapter 4 of Macabre, or as we're going to call it from now on, Nicabre. The Armed Forces Far East Network series we've been enjoying for the last couple of weeks. Maybe we'll get to that Barry Farber request. I have Barry Farber with Gene Shepherd, but I gotta straighten it all out. Too much, too many files, too confusing for this feeble brain right now. This feeble brain belongs to your curator and janitor, Max Schmid. You're gonna write to me, max@wbir.org. You can visit our Facebook pages, The Dust Bin of History, or Golden Age of Radio, hosted by Max Schmid, also known as facebook.com/Max Golden Age. I'm also here Sunday evenings, 8 to 10, with the Golden Age of Radio, so join me then as well. That's it, we're out. Jimmy Dore is next, followed by What's the Frequency, Kenneth, here on WBAI New York. Thanks for listening, and good night, gang.
Hi, George. Well, finished with the show. What do you want me to do now?
Did you have a good time in there?
Yeah. Oh, boy, it was fun.
Great. How'd you like to do it every day?
Yeah, yeah. That would be neat. Hey, wait a minute. Do I still get to be the janitor?
Sure.
Oh, okay. It's a deal.